Table of Contents. Introduction. Chapter 1. Importance of Homesteading. Chapter 2. Backyard Livestock. Chapter 3. Planting Vegetables, Fruit Trees, and Crops. Chapter 4. Food Preservation. Chapter 5. Homemade Cleaning Supplies and Beauty Products. Chapter 6. Crafting. Chapter 7. Energy. Chapter 8. Vital Equipment. Chapter 9. Feng Shui. Chapter 10. Homesteader's Action Plan. Conclusion. Introduction. I want to thank you and congratulate you for downloading the book, Homesteading for Beginners, Self-Sufficiency Guide, Grow Your Own Food, Repair Your Own Home, Raising Livestock, and Generating Your Own Energy. This book contains proven steps and strategies on how to start a homestead. The city life offers many opportunities for work and leisure. It lures many people in and keeps them satisfied, but sometimes only for a while. Most people are fine with the hustle and bustle of big cities. They move around the city, hustling to do more, earn more, get more. However, there are those who merely yearn for the sound of grass in the field and the bright, shining stars at night. For some people, yearning for these things is mundane and impractical. But these people do not see the value of living a simple life with nature and eating healthy, organic food. In this book, you'll discover that homesteading is the key to financial independence. For some, it was the key to escaping debt and financial problems. You'll discover that homesteading is a great source of income for your whole family. This book will teach you important aspects of homesteading that all beginners should know. Contains detailed explanation about procedures. This book explains every procedure in detail so that you can do them properly in your homestead. Contains descriptive pictures. Every procedure in this book contains pictures that help guide you through the procedures. Contains easy procedures for beginners. The steps and procedures included in this book are all designed for beginners. These procedures are basic and are aimed to get your homestead running as quickly as possible. Covers the most important areas of homesteading. This book covers the majority of homesteading procedures that are important for a beginner. The ideas presented in this book are the most productive and the fastest producer of income. If you buy this book, you'll discover that there is a way out of any financial crisis. That way is through homesteading. Thanks again for downloading this book. I hope you enjoy it. Chapter 1. Importance of Homesteading. Homesteading has a high significance in the traditional American culture. In 1862, the first Homesteading Act was first enacted by Abraham Lincoln's Republican Party. This allowed all Americans who didn't rebel against the USA government to claim lands of their own for free. Women and immigrants are also allowed to claim lands under this law. This happened after the American Civil War. The Republicans decided that allowing immigrants inside America would be good for the economy, so they made the Homesteading Act to expand the economy. This law embodies the idea of the yeoman farmer, which is described as a freeman farm or a farm worked without a slave. This is contrary to the idea of slave farming, where a landlord will buy a big area of land and have slaves work on it. Back then, there were three rules in owning a homestead. First, the applicant should not be a Southerner who fought in the Civil War. Second, the applicant should be a non-slave 21-year-old who is willing to work the land. Third, the land should be worked for 5 years before it can be owned. Now, everyone can be a homesteader. All you need is a small piece of property, and you can start a little homestead. This can be done in your backyard in many different ways. Being self-sufficient and making money. Being self-sufficient is important for every person. This gives everyone the freedom in every aspect of their lives without being coerced to do non-satisfying jobs. The modern lifestyle in the city has led to the unending cycle of debt and the toxic dependence to consumerism. Homesteading is the way out of all of this. If you produce your own goods naturally, without depending on any other products, you will experience a stress-free and very satisfying lifestyle. Homesteading is very flexible and is not constricted to a set of rigid rules. You can explore several ways of producing goods without a boss or any other higher-ups dictating to you on what to do. Once you have planted your garden, all you have to do is wait for it to grow. The most satisfying feeling of all is when you produce something without relying on anyone. This is what homesteading can give everyone. Making money is easy when you have a homestead. Most of the produce can be consumed by the family, and the excess can be sold to community markets. Organic products from homesteads are in high demand, and, as a homesteader, you can gain a large profit from producing these. There are different products that a homesteader can produce, ranging from fruits, grains, root crops, milk, and honey. All of these can be turned into other products that have more value in the market. Chapter 2. Backyard Livestock. Raising backyard livestock is a very efficient way of sustaining food for the homestead. It also allows homesteaders to produce quality food supplies that don't contain synthetic chemicals. The meat and products from the animals can also be a good source of income for the whole family. Chickens. Raising backyard chickens is not a difficult task. All that's needed is to provide the chickens food, clean water, and shelter. A sufficient amount of food and a continuous supply of water is a must. Chickens love to eat dandelion leaves. These wild plants provide calcium and vitamins to chickens. Calcium is important to chickens in forming protective shells for the eggs. Phosphates are also important to form eggshells. The best and cheapest source of phosphates for chickens is crushed oyster shells. These crushed shells should be placed in a clean container inside the pellet container. Chickens also, surprisingly, like Cheerios. Giving Cheerios to chickens can be a good way of taming them and making them more accepting to the presence of humans. Crushed gravel or stones are also important items for chickens. Chickens swallow these stones, which become gastroliths or stomach stones. These help the chickens digest and grind the ingested food in their stomachs. Chickens are not picky when it comes to shelters. They love to perch on elevated tubes or roofing. Just make a chicken coop with plenty of protruding tubes and edges. A laying box is also required so that the chickens can feel safe when laying eggs. Chickens don't need too many laying boxes because sometimes two hens share a single box. The chicken coop's flooring should be filled with fresh hay. The hay can be replaced once every month. Chickens also love dust baths, so it's a good idea to provide them with areas with soft, dusty soil. Ducks. Raising ducks is somewhat similar to chickens. The difference is ducks are easier to manage. They rarely glide and perch on elevated places. What they love to do is to swim in water or in a mud bath. Because of this, it's important to provide them with a makeshift pool. Just like chickens, ducks also love dandelion leaves, especially when thrown into a pool of water. Ducks can be fed with pellets, but they also eat insects and slugs. Their coop can be made similarly to chickens, but without the need of hay. The only concerns with ducks are predators and clean water. Compared to chickens, ducks run slower. They're more susceptible to predatory attacks, so it's best to keep them inside fences. Their water has to be checked constantly because they love playing in water. Turkeys. Raising turkeys is more complex compared to raising chickens or ducks. Turkey poults, or the babies and chicks, are very sensitive. They need heat for the first week. For this purpose, the turkey barn should have a constant light source, such as a light bulb. They can be fed with pellets and should have a constant supply of clean water. Turkeys become sexually mature as they reach 7 months. In breeding turkeys, one tom or male can mate with 10 hens, but sometimes eggs fail to be fertilized during mating. Unfertilized eggs have no market value and need to be discarded. To avoid having unfertilized eggs, two toms should alternately mate with 10 hens. The hen should also be healthy during the mating. The mating process can sometimes be violent and can agitate the hen. To avoid this, always clip the tom's toenails so that they do not wound the hen. Each hen lays around 70 to 90 eggs per season, which is 16 to 20 weeks. The lighter breed of turkey lays more eggs, while the heavier breeds lay fewer, at least around 50 eggs. Three hens can share one laying nest box. The nest box should measure around 1/2 meter on all sides and 1/2 meter deep. It should be placed inside a well-ventilated turkey coop. The nest should also be kept safe from blood-sucking parasites, and they should be filled with dry straw. Goats. Goats are great animals for a backyard farm. They can be raised as pets or for meat and milk. A pygmy goat could give 2 to 3 cups of milk a day. The milk can be either used as a condiment or turned into cheese. Usually, goats require a minimum fence space of 20 square feet. There should be elevated structures inside the fence, such as rocks or mini tables. Goats love to stand on top of structures. Their barn can be at least 4 meters by 5 meters. Dried hay is the staple food of goats. However, goats can also be fed with feed pellets, bamboo, leafy vegetables, raisins, banana peels, orange peels, and squash. Sheep. Raising sheep is a very good source of income for a homesteader. Sheep can provide 3 main products, namely wool, milk, and meat. All of these products can be sold in markets. The cheese and meat can also be consumed by the homestead family. However, sheep are more suitable for large-scale farming. 4 ewes, female sheep, with their lambs need to graze at least 1 acre of grass field. This amount of land is sometimes hard to find, especially in urban areas. But despite this, a homesteader can still raise a small number of sheep in the backyard. Sheep can be fed with grain and fresh plant leaves. They also need salts and minerals and a lot of clean water. For meat products, the best breed to raise is Cahadine and Suffolk. These breeds should be fed with 100% grass to get the highest quality of their meat. When sheep have a pure grass diet, high concentrations of omega-3 fatty acids build up in their meat. These fatty acids are beneficial to humans because they help reduce bad cholesterol. But even if there's not enough access to grass, meat sheep can be fed with grain supplement feeds such as corn. For milk production, the best breed to raise is East Frisian and Lacon. Sheep milk is highly regarded as the best milk for cheese production. Compared to goat milk and cow milk, sheep milk contains more amounts of butter fat. This is why it tastes very rich and sweet. Sheep milk also has a high concentration of proteins and minerals, which make it healthier than goat milk or cow milk. For wool production, the best breed to raise is Rambouillet and Cotswold. Wool-producing sheep have a higher nutritional requirement compared to meat sheep. These sheep need to be fed with 100% grass diet with more amounts compared to what milk sheep and meat sheep need. Management-intensive rotation grazing, or MIRG, is the method utilized in raising wool sheep. This method needs a large land area and is incompatible with backyard farming. Raising wool sheep in a backyard is still possible, but the number should be limited to a very small few, 1 to 2 sheep. Pigs. Raising pigs in a backyard is very easy. Pigs are very resilient. As long as they're fed and have a clean environment, they'll not have any problems. They're not hard to feed because they'll eat almost anything. The ancient pigs were wild feral animals. They dug around the forests, scavenging for food. Although pigs are now domesticated, they still keep some of their old traits. Like the ancient pigs, modern pigs still eat plants and wild vegetation. This type of diet can be of use for a homesteader and should be taken into consideration when taking care of the pig. Before bringing home a piglet, it's important to plan how the pig pen will be positioned in the backyard. Usually, a pig pen with a size of 16 by 16 feet is enough for 3 pigs. The pen should be enclosed by a wire fence as high as 3 feet. It only needs minimal roofing that can act as a shade for the piglet. Usually, the roofing can be a bunch of plywood laid over a corner. When pigs grow bigger, they usually don't care about the rain. Investing in an electrical fence is also a good idea. By having an electrical fence, a homesteader can allow his pigs to forage for food inside the property. This will help the pig exercise and develop more muscle mass. Eating wild vegetation inside the property also helps the pig to develop less fat. If the property is not big enough and is not suitable for foraging, the pigs can be fed with 80% corn meal and 20% soybean meal. The pigs will have to reach 200 pounds before they can be butchered. They'll usually reach this weight after 6 months. Beekeeping. Beekeeping is a profitable business that can be done in a homestead. It's very profitable because there are many products that can be produced from honey. Honey itself is a product that can be sold in markets. It can also be used as an ingredient in herbal medicine and as a food sweetener. Honey is also the main ingredient for making mead. In a bee colony, there are three types of bees. The first type is the all-female worker bees. These bees are the ones who do all the labor within the colony. They protect the entire hive from potential predators, and they also gather nectar to produce honey. The second type is the bee queen. The queen is the most important part of the colony. She is the only one capable of laying eggs because all of the female worker bees are infertile. There's only one queen for every colony. The queen can lay up to 2,000 eggs per day. The third type of bee is the all-male drone. These bees do not perform any work in the colony. Their only function is to mate with the queen. Obtaining a bee colony can be done in two ways. The first one is by catching a local swarm of feral bees. A swarm is a group of feral or wild bees that are just about to start a new colony. Bee colonies multiply by a natural process called swarming. This process occurs when a colony becomes big enough to split into two different colonies. The queen of the original colony will signal the workers to turn one of her female offspring into a new queen. The original queen will then leave the original colony, taking half of the colony's food with her, along with half of the worker bees. She will then start a new hive, which is called a swarm. The bees left in the original colony will have a new queen. To simplify, the old queen is the one who leaves to form a new colony. The second way of obtaining a bee colony is by purchasing a package. Packages are sold by beekeepers who are experts in breeding bees. A single package contains one queen bee and 10,000 worker bees. The package also contains a can of sugared water syrup that serves as the food of the bees during the shipment. The queen inside the package has been open-mated or artificially inseminated. This will allow the queen to lay eggs without initial drones. When starting a bee colony, it's important to be a member of a local beekeeping organization. A local beekeeping organization can help fix complex problems that can't be fixed by beginners. Some of these problems are related to bee seasons and bee survival. The organization can also help provide the tools that are needed in beekeeping. Chapter 3. Planting vegetables, fruit trees, and crops. Plant requirements. There are several factors that affect plant growth, some of which are temperature, water, and distance. Most plants will exhibit growth in a temperature between 15 degrees to 45 degrees Celsius. If the temperature drops below 15 degrees, plant growth will stop. If the temperature goes beyond 45 degrees Celsius, the plant's proteins can be damaged. If it goes over 75 degrees, the plant's chlorophyll will be destroyed. Another thing that people usually take for granted is the availability of water. There are plants that cannot tolerate muddy grounds, while there are some who can. One good example is cranberries. When growing plants, it's important to take temperature into account. Some plants are more adaptable to warm temperature, while others are not. Most plants with shiny and waxy leaves are more tolerant to higher temperatures. These plants can be planted in sunny areas within the garden. Herbs and leafy vegetables do not thrive in warm, sunny areas. These plants should be planted in shady areas of the garden. When planting vegetables, it's important to maintain a 12-inch distance between each of them. This will allow the vegetables to grow without damaging one another. For this same reason, it's also important to take note of how a particular vegetable grows. If a vegetable spreads its leaves around and crawls to other places, it's advisable to put that vegetable in a more isolated location. Some plants also need less water, while others need more. Knowing which of the vegetables need more water will help determine which vegetable needs to be planted near the irrigation system. Like vegetables, fruit trees have similar factors that affect their growth. However, fruit trees are sturdier compared to vegetables. They can tolerate extreme changes in temperature and have longer lifespans. Fruit trees are best planted in sunny areas. They don't need too much water, but they also don't like very dry places. What fruit trees need is enough water and some organic materials such as compost. They also need enough space to grow without their roots being compromised. If their needs are not met, fruit trees will not die immediately. However, the speed of their fruit production can be slowed. The only enemies of fruit trees are strong winds and frosts. These elements can damage the tree branches and slow down the fruit production. This problem can be solved by putting protection on the tree, such as fences or nets. Making raised beds. Raised beds are important in making vegetables and other plants safe and secure. The advantage of raised beds over pots is that a great number of vegetables can be planted in them. It's also easier to pour water and fertilizers into raised beds. The following are the easy steps in making a raised bed. Step 1. Take measurements. Decide how wide or how long the raised bed will be. Raised beds are usually 8 feet in length, 4 feet in width, and 8 inches in height. Get 4 pieces of wooden planks and cut them in those dimensions. Step 2. Get 4 2x2 wooden bars and cut them into lengths of 16 inches each. Step 3. Use glue or epoxy to stick the corners of the wooden planks together. This should form the rectangular frame of the bed. Step 4. Use epoxy and stick the wooden bars on the inner 4 corners of the frame. The wooden bars should all be pointed downward. Step 5. Nail the wooden bars to the corners of the frame. Step 6. Dig 4 holes in the ground. Drive the tip of the 4 wooden bars into the holes. Step 7. Fill the inside of the frame with soil. The frame should be filled with soil up to its highest point. Add fertilizer and then start planting crops in the soil. Terracing. A terrace plantation is an advisable way of planting crops in land properties that are near rocky hills. This method can be done either in small scale or in large scale. Terracing is the best option if the soil in a home property is fertile and suitable for farming, yet filled with large rocks and is on a down slope. Large-scale terracing. Before building a terrace, it's important to select a suitable area with large amounts of rocks, fertile soil, and easy access to flowing water. Step 1. Once selection of the area is done, put a marker in the selected area to identify the edges of the terrace. 2. Gather all of the rocks that are available in the area. Step 3. Dig a foundation canal along the planed edges of the terrace. The canal should be at least 2 feet deep. It's important to remove non-rock and non-soil materials such as twigs or dead plant roots. If these materials are not removed, they can weaken the foundation. Step 4. Place rocks in the canal to form rock walls. Stack the rocks in the order of large, medium, and small. The bottom of the canal should be filled with large rocks to make the wall sturdy. Put mud over the large rocks and then stack the medium-sized rocks over them. Put mud over the medium-sized rocks and stack smaller rocks over them. The wall should reach a height of at least 2 to 3 feet. Step 5. Let water flow into the soil within the walls. Scatter fertilizer on the wet soil and begin planting the crops. Small-scale terracing. Small-scale terracing uses wooden planks to form frames instead of rocks. They look like raised beds but are built on a down slope. Rooftop garden. Rooftop gardens are advisable for urban homesteading. This is a convenient way of growing fresh vegetables even if a large space or land is not available. This can be done in city apartments or buildings. Step 1. Get some large biscuit cans or large oil cans. Step 2. Remove the upper cover of the cans using a knife or a saw. Step 3. Fill the cans with soil and natural fertilizers. Step 4. Get a handful of ashes and spread them on the surface of the soil. Ashes are rich in potassium, which plants need. Step 5. Sprinkle about a cup of human urine on the soil. Do this for every can. Leave the soil for at least a day before planting. Urine is a rich source of nitrogen, which the plants need. An alternative to urine is white clover. Plant white clover around the soil and leave an empty space at the center for the vegetables. Clover is an amazing plant that draws nitrogen from the air and passes it to the soil through its roots. The nitrogen in the soil can then be absorbed by the vegetables or crops. Step 6. Bore small holes into the soil and drop seeds into them. Cover the holes with soil and wait for the sprouts to grow. Composting. Composting is an important component of farming. It produces organic fertilizers and helps in managing waste. A good compost recipe consists of 4 main ingredients. The first one is the green component. This is a mixture of organic materials that are rich in nitrogen. Examples of these materials are grass clippings, vegetable waste, fruit peels, and manure of herbivores such as rabbits and hamsters. The second ingredient is the brown component. This is a mixture of carbon-rich organic materials such as sawdust, straw, wood chips, cardboard, and fallen leaves. The third and fourth ingredients are water and air, respectively. These four ingredients are going to be mixed together. However, there are things that have to be followed when mixing these ingredients. 1. In the initial mix, there should be more brown ingredients than green ingredients. The ratio should be 3 parts brown to 1 part green. This will allow the microorganisms to digest the materials faster. 2. After 1 week, the green ingredients should be added slowly to the mix. In the end, the green and the brown ingredients should be of equal parts. 3. The compost should be mixed thoroughly to introduce the third ingredient, air. 4. After mixing, add a few splashes of water over the compost. There should not be too much water because it can slow down the digestive process of the microorganisms. After the first week, the compost will increase in temperature. This heating is caused by microorganisms decomposing the organic materials. As these organisms digest the compost, they produce heat as a byproduct of the process. After the second week, earthworms should be introduced to the mix. These animals will digest the compost even further and will produce fine granules of fertilized material. Pest and disease management. Pest and disease management can be a cumbersome task for a homesteader, but with sufficient knowledge, this task can be made easier. In a homestead, using chemicals to control pests in the garden is very risky. The chemicals in pesticides can cause serious health issues to the entire family. For a homesteader, the best solution is to use natural or organic methods of pest control. There are 4 natural methods of controlling pests, namely physical removal, physical barriers, natural predators, and natural pesticides. Physical removal. There are 2 types of physical removal, manual removal and water spray. Manual removal is the removal of pests using one's own hands. This method can be time-consuming because it requires an up-close interaction with the pests. Sometimes, a magnifying glass is needed to see the bugs. Tweezers can also be used to avoid skin contact with the pests. Water spray is the easier method of physically removing pests from the garden. This method utilizes a pressurized hose connected to the faucet. In this method, pressure control is vital to ensure that the plant will not be damaged by the water burst. When hit by pressurized water, bugs and pests are usually removed from the plants. However, these pests can just as easily return the next day. To prevent this, spray the plants with water every morning and every afternoon. Physical barriers. Raised beds with fences are the most common form of physical barriers for plants. These barriers help protect the crops and fruits against rodents. Another physical barrier designed for plants is the frost blanket. This can be placed over the plants to protect them against flying bugs that can damage the plants. Natural predators. There are several natural predators that can help decrease the population of pests in the garden. These predators are praying mantises, lady beetles, and assassin bugs. These insects will hunt down and eat the pests in the garden. Natural pesticides. If all else fails, natural pesticides can be used to remove the pests. There are several plants that have natural pesticide properties. These plants include coriander, ginger, garlic, and lemongrass. The leaves, seeds, and rhizomes of these plants contain special oils that can be concocted into potent solutions. Just crush the leaves and seeds of these plants and boil them in clean water. Once it's cooled down, strain the solids and transfer the solution to a spray bottle. It can then be sprayed over plants that are infested by pests. Bacterial leaf spots. This disease is caused by microscopic bacteria that are almost impossible to remove by physical means. For this problem, the only solution is to remove the leaves that show the symptom of the disease. If the symptoms persist, remove the infected plant from the garden to avoid contaminating the other plants. Garden harvesting. Harvesting is the best part of gardening. It's the easiest task of all. However, some rules have to be followed when harvesting produce. Time. The best time to harvest is in the afternoon when the temperature is low. This is usually 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Doing this allows the plant to regenerate better. This is the best practice for leafy greens. Leafy greens. Harvesting leafy vegetables is quite easy. Most leafy greens, such as collard greens and lettuce, are ready for harvest when their leaves reach around 8 inches long. The leaves can be harvested starting from the bottom outermost area. In the case of lettuce and cabbages,